Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hope, right, that this time next year they will have been able to move off of him as an expiring, but that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. So anyway,
somebody will take it next year at the trade deadline.
It's possible for sure.
May as well get a couple threes out of it.
All right, we'll come back. Lots to get to in the rundown, including Dan Hurley became the new like face of hate for Memphis basketball.
The
fans.
New Bob Huggins, the new Danny Crum.
I really think he is. I mean, he has the potential to be. Like if we believe the programs are on the trajectory that we think they're on, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that's
true, no doubt.
Then absolutely, it'll be great. It'll be great. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Jason and John on HRNFM, ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's lunchtime. Good time to get over to the Wing Guru. Always good time to get to the Guru. Who's the Guru? Well, his name's Billy Richmond. If you hadn't heard of him before, he's a former Tigers basketball player who's now only the best chicken man in town. I'm talking the best hot wings in town, party hole, boneless, however you like them. And Johnny's going to give them to you with the best premium flavors, isn't he?
That's what he does. Every time my wife, who, by the way, had
how have we not talked about that?
Who held up a sign at a Grizzlies game. I posted a picture of it, and I got a comment from a guy who said, "I'm pretty sure I was standing behind that lady at the Wing Guru." We have now reached the age where my wife is referred to as a lady.
That lady.
Yeah, so which is really something else. But every time we're at a game, I promise you, we go to the Wing Guru to grab some Wing Guru because it is the best in Memphis, and it is the best in the world.
Heard you guys trying to do my line on Friday with me out of it, and boy, was it a struggle.
Very clumsy.
For y'all.
Very clumsy. I will hold my hand up.
Yep, y'all know the drill. When you see Billy Richmond, you tell him that Jason and John sent you, please.
You don't do the former Memphis Tiger thing
no,
anymore?
No, I never did it.
Yes, you
I
did.
I listened to you do it. I don't say tell him a former Memphis Tigers. No.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Bennett, didn't he not used to say former
now
Memphis?
Now that I heard it, I don't think that he did.
No, it's
say
much
that.
Shorter. You guys made it long and uncomfortable. Way to blow it.
This is like the Mandela
Glad
effect.
Glad I'm back.
It's like the Mandela effect.
What?
You don't know what the Mandela effect is?
What is the Mandela effect?
Okay, the Mandela effect is, for example, you think something happened or you think something was a certain way, but it wasn't for some weird mechanism in your brain. For example, people think Sinbad was in Kazam. Did you think he was in Kazam?
No, it was Shaq.
Okay.
What are we doing?
Bernstein Bears. Did you think it was pronounced Bernstein Bears?
Woodward and Bernstein. What are you talking
the,
about?
The book about the Bears, the Bernstein Bears.
Yeah, Bernstein.
No, that's
Berenstain.
Not it. It's what is it? Bernstein.
Bernstein. I called him.
It's Bernstein.
No, I had call, that. That what? That's not even on my radar.
I called him the Berenstain Bears.
It's Bernstein Bears.
Berenstain.
So you're talking about like song lyrics that for all your life you thought they were one thing and they're something else.
Hold on, I'm finna look.
That would
up.
Be an example.
I'm gonna look up Mandela Effect right now because it is very fascinating, right? It's evidence that you may have experienced, this is true, I'm not even making this up, that you may have experienced events from a different reality.
Dude, I can't even follow you right now.
That sounds
different than your example.
No, I mean, it's,
again, you're just
Bernstein
confused.
Bears is one of them, yes. And the other is, people think Sinbad was in Kazam. He wasn't. He was not in Kazam.
You're telling me that a a big faction of this country has it in their heads that Sinbad was in Kazam, like it's some kind of phenomenon?
Yes. Another example consists of false memories of a 1990s movie titled Shazam, starring comedian Sinbad as a genie, which may be a conflation of memories of the comedian wearing a genie costume during a TV presentation of Sinbad the Sailor movies in 1994 and a similarly named 1996 film Kazam featuring a genie played by Shaquille O'Neal.
Maybe they're thinking of Will Smith.
It's getting too weird. He's blue.
That's right. He's blue.
Mandela Effect. You should Google it if you have some free time this afternoon.
I will.
Mandela Effect. It's real. It's a real thing.
Okay.
All right. Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's get it.
Now, it's the rundown. The biggest midday stories from Jason and John. Everything y'all need on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
I spent an afternoon with Dan Hurley yesterday inside FedEx Forum. Dan Hurley is, of course, the first-year UConn coach. Memphis took on UConn, 1 o'clock Central Time, inside FedEx Forum. Our old friend Bob Wenzel was on the call. Nice to see him. Five-hour energy really did reinvent that man's career.
Had the game.
Congrats, Bob.
That man came on with us weekly, and now he's turned it into a career calling games again.
Good for him. Maybe he can get Tom Penders back to work.
That J&J bump is real. I'm telling you. I don't think we can make that happen for Tom, though.
Okay.
I think due to time constraints, like you said, we just ran out of time with Tom Penders. Anyway, I spent an afternoon with Dan Hurley. I went down there fully anticipating to cover, you know, a game between two programs whose better days are ahead.
Both need a win. Yeah.
Right. They're both coming into this game 13-10. UConn's winless on the road. Memphis is on a three-game losing streak.
Season long.
Luckily for Memphis, UConn lost their best player, Jalen Adams, in the game before.
He's out for the season, right? I thought it was a 4 to 6 weeks brace of the season.
It's going to basically put you out for the season. Okay. I mean, maybe you make a return for the
And then conference. Gilbert didn't play,
but,
right?
Yeah. Gilbert's out as well. So UConn was down there, top two players, and Memphis has been struggling lately. So it was a game they needed to get. So I was fully prepared to document that, Jason. However, about a minute into the game, it became very clear to me that the story was not going to be whatever the result was on the court. Because, frankly, it's mostly irrelevant. These are two middle-of-the-pack. Why are you smiling at me?
Nothing.
Why are you smiling at me?
Nothing. I'm smiling at a message someone sent me. Don't let it get you off. You do that all the time.
Well, you're smirking at me. You keep looking at me. You look at your phone. Look at me.
Go right ahead.
I'm rolling right now.
Somebody sent me some Mandela Effect stuff.
Okay, good. We'll get to that later.
Okay.
I do want to know what they sent you.
Of course you do.
But it became clear to me that a minute into the game, the real story was going to be Dan Hurley, because he was, this is all a minute into the game, he was berating the officials, he was cursing, dropping F-bombs,
right.
He told Jeremiah, or it said in the direction of Jeremiah, after Jeremiah Martin hits a three, he better shut his effing mouth.
That is amazing to me.
And
that everybody's laying, you know, they love it.
Well, I will say this.
What are we saying? Yeah, that he said directly to Jeremiah. That just seems so.
Well, he said it to the official about Jeremiah.
He didn't say that directly.
He didn't say to Jeremiah.
But someone else said
that. You better shut your effing mouth. He said he better shut his effing mouth.
That scoundrel.
And it went on, and it went on, and it went on. He.
What about the one that this Brad Bowden tweeted at me, and I tweeted out that he was sitting. He was sitting across from the TV broadcast, and Hurley is yelling across the court to Martin, "We're gonna make you shut your mouth."
I didn't hear that one. I'm gonna be honest. I did not. So I
cannot. That's talking directly
to the veracity of that.
All right. Because typically, fundamentally, rule is you don't talk to the other team's players.
No,
you don't touch them,
and
you don't talk to them.
Right. I mean, I was frankly,
not saying that happened.
I was taken aback by him even saying that.
Yeah.
He better shut his effing mouth.
No question.
I was like, whoa.
Especially with the way you're conducting yourself.
Whoa. So anyway. I said, you know what? The game's going on. Memphis had control. I started documenting the most interesting things that Dan Hurley said and did.
Mm-hmm.
So, with 10 minutes left in the first half, UConn guard Terrence Smith misses a layup, and their big man, Eric Cobb, gets called for an over the back foul.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis is up by 11 at that point. Hurley yells in the direction of the official who blew the whistle, "What the F are you doing?" Didn't get a tag, by the way.
How did this man not get a tag?
6:48 left in the first half. Alex Lomax tracks down a pass. I think maybe the play got busted, but he gets the ball at midcourt, resets the offense, and Hurley is begging whoever, I can't remember who's guarding him at that point. Hurley is begging the defender, "Back up, back up. He can't shoot. He can't shoot." Alex Lomax proceeds to take a jumper from the free throw line that misses badly.
Oh.
Yes.
Come on. We know it's in the game plan. He's also doing that to embarrass Alex. I don't like it.
With 3:43 anyway, left in the game, Keevan Davenport, who was awesome last night, or yesterday afternoon, I should say, Keevan Davenport gets fouled on a drive, which initiates the under-4 media timeout, and Dan Hurley walks all the way across the court, right? You know, like coaches, like maybe they get to the middle of the court when they're huddling for a timeout or whatever. Sure. He walks all the way across, and he gets to the other side, and a Memphis fan engages him, and they have a little back and forth. Apparently, there are disputing reports about what was actually said.
Good grief.
And then with 3:30 left, UConn's Tyler Polley turns the ball over. Hurley doesn't say anything. He just turns around and slams the scorer's table like Josh did once upon a time. That's what it reminded me of. Remember how he would do that?
Yeah.
He did not get a technical foul.
Unbelievable.
Which to me was like, all I could think of was if Penny conducted himself like that, right?
Yeah, I saw that tweet out there.
If Penny would be berating the officials and cursing and throwing, you know, how can he not have gotten a technical? Now, he had warnings and stuff like that, and at one point the official whistled in his direction, stared him down, which kind of serves as a warning, right? You keep doing this, you're going to get a technical. But why did he get so many warnings, and why did he not get a technical? Because he was going right at the officials time and time and time and time again.
Well, the problem with this, and if I'm not mistaken, it happened at Tulsa when he got tossed. He and Frank Haith had gotten into it. They ended up trying to make up, and they still get tossed out of the game. The problem with this is if you don't put the techs on him, he will continue to do this. And we've seen people say that this is no way for a basketball coach to act. It's no way for a basketball coach to talk. And I don't care. You know, I'm not here to say, oh, for, you know, bad Dan Hurley. No, I don't think it's the time or the place for that. You can feel any way you want to be. Some people like it. Some people think he's Denny Crum. Some people think he's Bob Huggins. All of that said, if you're the AAC,
yep,
you can't curb this by allowing him to continually do it without a technical foul.
No doubt about it.
So don't give me the whole, hey, he's got to be better, and you're not curbing it and slapping him with a tech. Show him.
No
teach
doubt.
Him what's acceptable and what's not.
Punish
because
him.
Clearly this dude doesn't know where the line is, or maybe he does and he just doesn't mind crossing it.
Right.
He's going to push you to that point.
Right.
That's on the AAC. That's on officials. That's on the AAC to clamp down on that and show him this is not acceptable. It's unacceptable.
Now, I mean, I think it's a crappy.
Especially if he's let's get to the right or wrong part. If he's telling Jeremiah Martin, like, you know, shut up.
Yeah,
that's wrong, because fundamentally, and any old school coach would tell you, don't talk to the other team's players, man. You let that work itself out on the court. You're the coach. You talk to your own guys. And so, yeah, I mean, I'd go to right or wrong. That's a mess too. But again, we've got different reports on.
Right.
What he said to whom.
Well, I will say this. I wrote about it, and it was entertaining for me. Like,
yeah, I liked what you wrote.
But the guy's a clown.
Penny seemed to almost like appreciate it and welcome, and this
oh,
is
yeah.
just him. And
also, it's a lot easier to appreciate it when you win, too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, right.
I think the guy's a little bit of a clown.
That's what I'm saying.
Just this decorum. It's like, you know, I understand – if it's a hotly contested game, and I understand, like, every possession, it was like, travel. Memphis traveled on every possession. Memphis fouled every. It was like, dude.
Bobby's the same way. The Hurleys are both like that in terms of their antics
right.
on the sideline, where they'll both push it to the end. Like, Bobby will throw himself into the chair,
right.
back into the bench, off,
right.
you know,
right.
if he doesn't like a call or
right.
something. They're both outwardly in it. I never watched their dad coach, the legendary high school. I never watched him coach. I don't know if his style was the same, but it gives you the sort of impression that they're both brats. I'm not calling them brats. They're grown men. I'm saying, but you come across as acting like one that, you know, you don't get your way, wah, 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 wah.
Yep.
And to your point, it's after every call.
Every
single
time.
And so, again, if you're an AAC official, again, if I'm Memphis and I lose that game, I'm probably, I don't know how I feel about the way, you know, if he's talking to Jeremiah Martin like that.
Right.
You know, it's weird to see it in this day and age just sort of be accepted, and
yep.
it was yesterday. Apparently, this guy's acting crazy and doesn't get one
no
technical
question.
Foul.
To your
point, if Penny does that, he's out of there.
It's accepted because it's just the way they are, and it's accepted that that's who they are.
The other, a few days earlier, I had been there for Cincinnati, and I'm watching Penny as Memphis isn't getting any calls. Obviously, I think they ended up with 6 free throws, 8 free throws, whatever it was. They're barely getting the line. A lot of that is Memphis not being aggressive enough.
Right.
But there were clearly some opportunities for the refs to even that up. And Penny goes to the guy and says, "What do we have to do?" With his hands out, with his palms up, like, you know. Not loud,
clearly, and then clearly addressing him almost quietly and to himself, not trying to embarrass the referee or anything. And the ref told him, hey, cool it, cool it. And Penny got a ref for, Penny gets a warning for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got, and I realize you said there were warnings yesterday for Hurley, but nobody pulls the trigger on what was clearly more egregious. I mean, just terrible, the crazy behavior. That said, some folks like it. And if Penny wasn't mad at how Hurley talked to his kids, if Penny felt Hurley didn't, if he didn't cross the line,
mm-hmm.
then we can't sit up here and say, oh, bad Dan Hurley.
Yep.
If Penny wasn't offended, then we should move on.
Yep.
Should be fun, though.
But Memphis got the win.
It'll be a fun rivalry.
Memphis got the win, and it will be a fun rivalry. It's going to be a very interesting next 2 weeks for the Tigers because three of their next four are on the road, which we know.
Slick, tough week.
It is. Now, you should beat East Carolina. High Point beat East Carolina.
You need to. They're, 2-9 in the AAC, if I'm not mistaken?
But then you've got UCF on the 16th on the road. That's going to be a tough one. They
just
probably
with the way this play, team plays
they
on the
owe
road.
You one. And then you come home against Tulane, and then you go back on the road for Wichita. so their next four is at ECU, at UCF, home against Tulane, at Wichita. You take 2-2?
Give me the other two after this week again. I was focused. I'm like Penny. I was focusing on this week.
ECU, UCF on the road.
Yeah.
Then you got Tulane at home. Then you're at Wichita. Do you take 2-2 over the next four?
They need 3-1, but I guess they'd take 2-2, yes. With the way this team – look, this team – the reality is this team's, 1-5 on the road?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when after Tulane they were putting up the Road Warriors thing?
They need to rediscover
sort of in
that.
Celebration. Yeah, 1-5.
Yeah.
2-8 away from FedEx Forum. Yeah, I think 2-2 would be acceptable with the way this team's played away from the Forum.
Yep, there you go.
You need 3-1.
If you want to read the entire transcript of Dan Hurley's antics, it's up over at The Athletic. You'll enjoy it.
Next story.
All right, a little bit of recruiting, and we'll talk more about it at 1 o'clock when Team Thad coach and program director Norton Hurd IV joins us. Damian Ball made an official visit to Memphis this weekend, reported about it Saturday night, was there that night. And was there again on Sunday to watch Memphis play UConn. Was there with James Wiseman, as a matter of fact. And James Wiseman, part of the pitch now to Damian Ball, Team Thad guy, like we said, 6'3", 6'4", point guard, who your main competition right now is going to be the teams that are that are in there with you are TCU and, no question, Texas Tech. And that would be Glenn Cyprian, who we've said, friend of the show. We know him well, former University of Memphis assistant, former Hustle head coach. He's now down at Texas Tech, and he's recruiting against Memphis. He wants Damian Ball, and I think as fans, knowing Cip the way we do,
yep.
And number one, Penny wants him,
yep.
And you see that now. And first, it was Anthony Edwards,
right,
who you saw committed to Georgia over the weekend. Memphis now officially out of that. They've sort of put the pressure now sort of applied the focus to Damian Ball and Lester Quinones.
That's right.
Did I get it right that
time? You did. You did.
Not bad that time?
Clutch.
Ball is a guy who, we'll talk about it again with her, natural point guard, natural playmaker, but a guy who can score.
Mm-hmm.
Quinones,
I don't know why you're
more,
struggling
more
with it so
the
much.
Shooter. What do you mean? You don't know. I mean, it just doesn't roll off the tongue.
Yes,
it's a little bit difficult.
Quinones.
Especially when I'm
Lester Quinones.
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 Again, but I'm just trying to get it in a sentence and roll it. It's a little
not,
bit
it's
tougher
not like
than
the Navy. It's not like the Navy coach, dude. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Quinones.
Okay. You done?
Yes.
All right. Damian Ball, this weekend, official visit. I expect a decision to come here within the next few weeks, and we'll be able to press, hopefully, Coach
yes.
Hurd on answers on when that decision may come.
No doubt.
If you saw this weekend, though, tweet out the news that, yes, Damian Ball has started the visit. Someone was watching. It was Sip. If you saw him tweet.
Yep.
He tweets a pair of eyes.
He does.
In response to the tweet that Damian Ball is visiting Memphis. He's feeling confident. That was my take from his tweet, is that Glenn Cyprian feeling awfully confident about where they stand with Ball. And you'll remember Ball just visited them. We talked about it late last month. I would think this is coming down to Texas Tech and Memphis. TCU's still an option with Ryan Miller down there. And because Jalen Fisher now out, they need a point guard. Jalen Fisher is transferring. But I think this will come down to Sip versus Penny. We'll see who wins, and we'll talk to his Team Thad head coach at 1 o'clock, Norton Hurd, about Damian Ball.
No doubt. I'm looking forward to wrapping up with Hurd. All right, we'll come back. Jason Fitz is going to join us. We will talk to him about the AAF debut. Obviously, a great weekend for them in terms of ratings, which, people point to the XFL. They had a great debut in terms of ratings for
yes.
their first week. But I actually think this might have a little bit more staying power than the XFL. Mm-hmm. We'll get Jason Fitz's thoughts on that and more when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Guest appear on the Sportsbook at First Jackpot Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Cooped up, I'm trying to get some fresh air. Hey, well, you got the roof out, roof out. You know when the rain's here.
Guys, I got the guy you need to talk to about your insurance. Jason, well, I'm fine on insurance. I don't need to talk to anybody about my insurance. Maybe you think you are. Maybe you're bundled up with an insurer. You got your home, your auto, your life with them, and you think you're paying the best rate possible. Let me tell you something. Maybe you are safe. You should see. And you should see with Eric Winston. He's a former Tiger. We're talking about former Tigers on this show. Eric Winston's a former Tigers football player. Played it with D'Angelo Williams after a standout career over at Kirby High School. Born and raised Memphian, now he's got all the answers when it comes to your insurance needs. He can put together a tailor-made insurance package going to fit your life beautifully. Like I talked about, home, auto, life. Maybe you need commercial insurance. He's partnered with over 24 insurance companies. He's going to make sure those companies compete for your business. Can just look at your situation, like I talked about, and tell you whether you've got a good one. So give him a call at 901-275-8173. Let him take a look at that situation. No pressure, no haggling. You can also visit him online at winstoninsures.com. It's winstoninsures.com. Winston Insurance, serving Mississippi, Arkansas, and Tennessee.
Hi, right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And every Monday at this time, we talk to Jason Fitz. Let's do that.
It's ESPN's Jason Fitz, host of Spain and Fitz and SportsCenter on Snapchat. Listen to Jason every weeknight on 92.9 FM, ESPN and 680 AM. And hear him now live with Jason and John.
Fitz, what's going on, man?
You know what, guys? We're fighting. We're fighting. Like, I got my sleeves rolled up. You know, I sat there a few weeks ago, and I was like, who am I going to pick? Memphis or Birmingham, Memphis or Birmingham. And then what happens? I pick Memphis because I love you guys and I love coming on this show. Man. And then Birmingham comes right back and just kicks me in the no-no places and said, should have picked us. That's, you know, it's all your fault at this point.
It is. And if it's, I'll ask you this. I don't know if you agree, but in all my time of being, in all my time of being a Memphis Express fan, I don't think I've ever been more disappointed than I was this weekend.
You know, and I, as a Raiders fan, I'm used to disappointment. I'm okay with it. I had the hope this time, and let's face it. I mean, there were good and bad, and I'm sure we'll get into it from the course of the weekend. But it wasn't just the fact that they got beat. It's the fact that they got their butts beat, and Christian Hackenberg did not look like the best quarterback solution long-term. So I'm not sure. You know, it's only 1 week. Yep. I'm going to trust in Singletary. And I'm going to trust that they can put it together as they get more on tape. Coaching is going to make a big difference in this league. So hopefully there's some sort of a light at the end of the tunnel.
Your overall takeaway just in terms of viewing pleasure, Jason, it was bad for us in terms of offensively. But I had fun watching the games. It felt like I was watching real football. What about you?
Well, I thought it was great. And I got to give CBS a lot of credit. Yep. I think one of the smartest things they did was they presented a broadcast that looked like an NFL game.
It did.
They didn't give us a bunch of weird new things. I mean, the graphics, the way they presented the players. I mean, if you just weren't paying attention, if you don't watch enough NFL to care who's on the screen, you tuned in and thought, okay, like maybe the camera work's not quite as what we're used to. But other than that, I mean, I thought it was a really solid broadcast. And I think it was a nice touch that they made sure to tie the players in, whether it was from their NFL history or college football history. I mean, they really sort of shaped a story around the guys to remind everybody that, okay, you may not know who this person is, but he had a career at Texas A&M, and all of a sudden that sort of gives you some legitimacy in what you're watching.
The no kickoffs, where do you come down on it? I've seen a couple of different views on this, that one, you're taking away exciting plays, but number two, and this is the view for me, Jason, I felt like I got more football. Maybe I do miss a kickoff every now and then, but I felt like I was getting more football. You get back down in the offense, taking the ball again. Where are you on kickoffs, no kickoffs, and whether it's good or not?
Okay, so I agree with you. I felt like it actually helped pace of play. Yes. I felt like it made a lot of sense in a lot of ways. And I think, frankly, it helps the better football team be the better football team. That's the part of it, though, that I'm sort of a little scared of for the NFL. There's a moment where when you've lost all momentum and you have no way to get back in the game and you don't know what you're going to do, it takes one massive kick return, and all of a sudden it feels like the flow of the game can change. I am hesitant to want to lose that opportunity for momentum or a big play for a team that might be down in the game. I mean, that part of it I missed, but I'm with you. I think it actually helped the pace.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of people have mentioned that, you know, the AAF's first weekend outdrew, you know, a good NBA game. Did that surprise you, or should that have been expected given that, you know, it is football A and B, it was the debut weekend?
I think a little bit of both, honestly. Like, I'm not trying to cop out and avoid it, but I would say this. I expected the number was going to be pretty good. I think we look at that NBA game and we say, hey, when you've got Rockets, Thunder, you've got two brands playing on a Saturday night on ABC, it's going to do really well. Let's remember, though, that the NBA in the regular season is not a notorious ratings grabber. So I guess I'm not that surprised by it, but I think it was a statement for the AAF. The bigger question is going to be what happens this weekend, because also the XFL came out with a big number the first exactly. weekend that they were in existence. So there's got to be some level of sustaining. But I would ask this, like, if you were tuning in out of curiosity, what did you not see that's going to prevent you from tuning in? Because I think they delivered every way that they needed to. People are going to come back.
Yeah, I would get, you know, because you're going to hear the XFL comparisons, right? Like, that's what you're going to hear. I was going to ask, you know, what is going to make them different than, because I agree, I do think there is more staying power. There's no question. They've done it the right way in terms of securing the TV package, in terms of surrounding the organization with football minds. I think they've done that. Is that what separates them from the XFL, at least that XFL?
I think what separates them the most is the fact that they're not shying away from the fact they're not trying to compete with the NFL at all. I mean, the XFL had these delusions of grandeur, I think. The AAF is coming in and sort of saying, hey, we're a complementary piece to it. And I thought they were making it really apparent that at some point they'd like to be a feeding system for the NFL. And in that sense, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, we're all going to be football hungry. And so if they can give a quality football product and they can keep brand name coaches involved, I think it's a huge part of it. Now, the one fail that not a lot of people have really dove into that is a big deal for the AAF that will matter for their sustaining power is the app. And I don't think I realized until we had Charlie Eversall on with us on Go Look at Wingo, and I was subbing in for Trey last week. And, you know, I asked him about sustaining for the league, and one point he made is that the league was a small part of a big purchase that had a lot to do with technology. The app that goes with the AAF is the biggest part of how they got their funding. And that app didn't work particularly well on weekend one. So that's a lost opportunity. But they've built a gaming app that's going to allow people to predict plays and score points. And I think their end game is to eventually become a feeding ground to the NFL and get that app sold to the NFL. It's all a money play, as cynical as that sounds. I think that's part of what keeps them alive for the foreseeable future, though.
What about sharing a third-string NFL quarterback with an AAF team? You think we'd ever see that, Fitzy, where you're developing a quarterback for those guys? The quarterback play would be one of, I guess, overall, if you looked at the weekend, one of the knocks on him wasn't just Hackenberg bad. It was pretty bad with some other guys as well. What do you think? You think the NFL, no way we're letting you touch our guys, or would that, you think they could make it work?
I think they should make it work. I mean, I don't think the NFL is going to be open to it yet, but I think they absolutely should. And let's be honest, no matter what your favorite team is, I understand that we don't buy into the concept of minor league football. I know that. But if your team was affiliated with an AAF team and you could send your third-string quarterback and let's say some of your guys that you signed to practice squad
like
futures
that.
Contracts, if you could do that, and if I could, as a Raiders fan, at the end of the season, if I could watch a team, you know, the Reno whatever, in the AAF where I'm watching for a couple of months the guys that are trying to make my squad, I think that there's a piece there that absolutely fans would buy into, you know, and you know, you look at Memphis as a great example. If Memphis became sort of a feeding ground where the Titans could send players over to Memphis and back and forth, I mean, that only ties the community and the state more into the Titans, which is good for the NFL also.
Yep. Mike Bercovici, he's the San Diego quarterback. Fitz, I don't know if you've seen the hit, but he got destroyed, and it was a shot underneath his, you know, his whole helmet comes off. It would have been a flag in the NFL. It was allowed in the AAF. is that good for the league? Those kind of hits. We know there's a, you know, a violence factor that we want to see, but there's also the safety concerns. Is that a good thing for the AAF, that hit being legal?
That's so tough, right? It wouldn't be good if that's what they were advertising. If they were going out and trying to sell, hey, we're the violent league, and anything can happen here, that's not a good look. And that becomes very, you know, previous XFL-ish when we're looking at these things and saying, oh, my God.
Yep.
I think the fact that those plays are allowed to happen, I'd be interested to see if they sort of cut that down over time. I think, honestly, people are uncomfortable talking about it. I think people like seeing that level of violence.
You know they do.
Really do.
Yes, you know.
And so, you know, without advertising, hey, we're going to allow this level of violence to happen. I mean, it's essentially like we always joke about the hit stick on Madden. I mean, you're watching it happen. And frankly, I think that the more they can become a viral sensation with clips, the better for them right now.
Yep.
We are, of course, talking to Jason Fitz. He joins us every single Monday here on the show. Already a battered Memphis Express fan. I mean, we're one game into the year, and you're already battered, Fitz. I want to go back to the Memphis Express specifically, though, because, you know, you look around the AAF this weekend, and there are points being scored. You know, several 38, 40. Memphis had none. And I mean this half jokingly, but I also do think there's an interesting question behind it. Is this a fit for a coach like Mike Singletary? Like, because do you not have to play a style that is fast, that is up tempo, that is high octane? Like, there is, you know, Mike Singletary is who he is, right? Like, he was 85 Bears. He's going to run the ball up the middle, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Like, that is what he, and that's what he did yesterday, right? Is there a question that should be asked about his personality fit in this new league?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's a fair question to ask. And when you think about what worked over the weekend, I mean, think about how many trick plays we saw. And one of the reasons I think we saw trick plays is because you understand, like, discipline, gap discipline, things like that that we talk about all the time in the NFL. But you got a bunch of guys that have just started playing together, and they're trying to communicate to each other. Oh, and they haven't had the chance to really scout their opponent. I think it's hard to game plan for that. So what we saw was offensive ingenuity won. So there's an issue at this point where, you know, I know it's only one game, but I think it's fair to look at Mike Singletary and say, is that the type of mind that's going to give you that trickery? I mean, that's what worked in Orlando. I mean,
exactly.
Right out of the gate, Steve Spurrier is making things happen. And who does that surprise? Now, I'm not sure the trickery will work as well in a month when everybody starts to sort of learn each other. But the other side of it is, if Mike Singletary's sort of calling card is going to be a defensive-minded team that plays strong, disciplined football,
right?
They were outdone in all of those categories by Birmingham.
It just worked.
So it's hard. It's hard right now to look at it and say, oh, okay, this is an easy fix.
And also, too, like, there is an element of aesthetics, right? There is an element to, you know, you want to draw crowds. And, you know, being that this is just this new league, I don't think anybody is necessarily wanting to come out and see, you know, a 10-3 game. You know, I think when you are you play your game, whatever, but I mean, I would strive to put an exciting offensive product out there, because that's what draws the crowds.
Especially when you've designed a league that's all about pace of play.
Right.
I mean, pace of play tells me they want points scored galore. And, you know, I think we're only going to see that improved throughout the course of what they're trying to do. Think about how many wide receivers across the games over the weekend had the opportunity to make big highlight plays and almost made them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like there were a lot of points left out there by all of the teams across the AAF, except for Memphis. Like, I don't look back at that game and think, oh, if this guy would have just made that one highlight catch, it was almost there. But, my God, think about how many Birmingham catches were close. And then, there, of course, there was the one that, you know, even with replay, they're still going to get some things wrong.
Fitz, if you were the Pelicans, would you have played it this way that they have? Or would you, so there's some, you know, do you get a bigger offer from another team or not? Obviously, that's all to be determined. But would you have played it the way they did?
100%. I think you owe it to your fans when you have one of the five best players in the NBA, heck, one of the three best players in the NBA, you owe it to your fans to sit on the sidelines and wait until you can see every single great offer. And the biggest part about this is we can talk about the quantity of the offer from the Lakers and how many starters and what if that offer goes away.
Right.
But let's also acknowledge that the quality of that offer wasn't good enough. I'm sorry, if you're trying to sell to a fan base that there's something to build for the future, that future, including the Lakers' core players, isn't enough. And that falls squarely on the shoulders of Magic Johnson, who has not utilized the draft properly and has not been able to get enough stars to out-leverage the Celtics for that. I think the Pelicans owe it to their fan base to wait as long as possible to see every single offer on the table.
Yeah,
Fitz is the best in the business. And listen, the Express tell us that they're getting back to work. They're a brotherhood, and they're gonna try to put on a better product this weekend. So I'm going to trust in them for at least one more game.
Yeah, well, you and me both. I mean, I'm too dug in this at this point. But
that's
if
right.
It doesn't go better, I'm going to send out an SOS. But, yes, I'm all in, boys.
Yes, sir. Fitz,
appreciate you, Jason.
As always, man.
Thanks,
thank you.
Thanks, brother.
Yep. He is Jason Fitz. Joins us every single Monday here on the show. Norton Hurd, the fourth, is going to join us at 1 o'clock. We'll talk to him about Damian Ball. Looking forward to that.
Did you yes, we are, and Norton Hurd will be here. You were talking about maybe one day we might have a Ball in here as well. That said.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to make that, see if we can make that happen today.
we'll get
back.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
Yeah, all right. That's going to happen in just a little bit. Back in a minute, Jason and John and Bennett. Bennett's here. Bennett's clocked in, locked in, ready to go. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM, and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Today is the perfect time to get engaged, and it's like 3 days away. Hope you got some big plans for Faith, Jason. Hope y'all going to a real nice dinner.
We got plans.
Oh, I know you lay it down, big dog.
Don't talk like that, bro.
Hey, Jason's married. I'm married. You may not be. You may be thinking about it. Now is the perfect time to get it done, and Robert Irwin Jewelers has the ring you want, starting at just $5.99. We surveyed 1 million different women, and they all agreed. Ring design is the number one thing they care about most when it comes to an engagement ring. They got you covered over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can impress her with a ring from the Dream Collection. They got handcrafted engagement rings featuring fancy-shaped center diamonds like the Oval Pair, Marquise, and Princess Cut. Each ring's one of a kind because she is.
Sounds like you're losing your breath, John. The deals are
love,
that great.
That's what love does.
It certainly does. You can get a You and Me Rock and Diamond necklace, too, featuring two interlocking hearts with rock and diamonds in the center. Represents, of course, you and her. You've got to see them. They start at just $199. Nice gift. And what you'll get with that is a free box of Denstall's chocolates. You're not going to beat that with all purchases of $99 or more. So you'll get it with that rock and diamond necklace. You can also do a 1-carat fairy tale engagement ring. Your choice in white, yellow, rose gold, only $999. Now that's while supplies last, so you better get there quick. Go to Robert Irwin Jewelers today. Great gift ideas starting as low as $59. Free financing available from Howie. That's how he does it, up to 60 months to pay or 12 months deferred interest. Again, you get that free box of Denstall's. Can't get better chocolate with your purchase of $99 or more while supplies last. Robert Irwin Jewelers, 4 convenient locations or online at rij.com.
All right, so you were in Atlanta over the weekend, and because your wife is building an empire.
She's trying to build a jewelry empire.
She's building a jewelry empire.
To support her.
You thought you were driven. Not like Faith. Faith on that grind, bro.
She is.
I'd be seeing
she
every
day. She does that in addition
faithfully.
To the full-time gig. Yeah, the full-time
every day.
Ride.
Every day at 8 or 9, Faith Smith live.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd be going for like hours, bro.
They've gotten longer, yes. The more successful she's gotten those lives where she's selling that jewelry.
I go to sleep at 9, I wake up, it's 2:30, she's still on that thing.
Why are you watching my live? You ain't never bought anything. What you watching my live? Lives for?
I just see it. I just see it on my Facebook feed.
I'm just messing with you. Yes, I was in Atlanta. I did want to talk about something from that trip because my son and I went to the Hawks-Charlotte Hornets game. And I got to tell you, man, because I'm not a guy that's, obviously haven't covered college basketball for the paper, been to a bunch of different college basketball arenas, but not a guy that's gotten around to a lot of other NBA arenas.
Right.
Other than, obviously, the one we've got, our lovely FedEx Forum. So it was my first time over at State Farm Arena, and I brought the receipt from the concession stand.
Mm-hmm.
Literally got it right here in front of me. Number one, the place is a party. Now, keep in mind, Atlanta Hawks, they're terrible. We know the deal. I mean, they're bad. We were talking about the Grizzlies, whether or not they could catch them. What are they, fifth right now fifth worst record in the league? So a team that's, you know, got some young pieces, obviously Trae Young, but and others, but a team that right now is trying to rebuild. They're playing the Charlotte Hornets, another team that's right around 500. Yeah, yep. They've got Kemba, but it's a bunch of, you know, again, not yet where they want to be.
Yep.
And so you'd think, right, you'd go in there, wouldn't be much of a party at all. Man, those dudes throw a party. Like, the moment you get there, number one, they've literally got music out on the concourse, stuff we do, of course, but there's people out there dancing. They're breakdancing all that, inviting you to come on in. Little Chris got out there and did some breakdancing, John. He really did. He got out there and break. But that wasn't even the best part. So we go to the concession stand. We got there about an hour early.
Mm-hmm.
And I get, I'm reading off my receipt, y'all. Bottomless popcorn, $4. Nachos, and I had no idea, you know, I was expecting to pay, you know, about $50. Nachos, $3. Brisket tacos. And John, they were fantastic. You get them
really?
With, man, bro, you could get them with all the good stuff on it, the sour cream, all that stuff, $12. Souvenir soda, that's also bottomless, $4. John, it came to $23. Tax was included, the $188. So for some crazy, the tax is included over there. I paid $23 for all that. Again, bottomless popcorn, I go back and refill. A nachos that was big enough for my kid for his whole meal. Brisket tacos for me. Souvenir soda, John, $23.
That's crazy.
They're doing that Mercedes-Benz Stadium Farm where they're, you go in there.
Why is everything so damn cheap in Atlanta?
Bro.
What the hell? Why can't we have it like that?
Ben and I talked about this off air before the show. When I take Chris down to a Grizzlies game, we typically have dinner. So I'll get him the chicken fingers combo, get myself something, whether it's the nachos.
Is that like $8,
$10? A little higher than that, brother.
Really?
Like, I'll get him the combo with the fries, the chicken tenders, and the drink.
What's that? How much is that? 14?
It's over 10. It's like it's got to be 12, 10, 13, yeah. $14.
Okay.
To the point that I just know what the total is. By the time I fed him and me both, we're looking at $37, $40, $45, something
right.
like that. And again, I realize that a Grizzlies are in a separate situation, right? I mean, it's a small market team. You know, you've got to get every dollar that you can. But Ben and I had a conversation this morning when I was showing him my amazement over this receipt and how little I paid for concessions at State Farm, that to the point that could you not do it? And Ben, you because John wasn't making this point, so this is going to be news to him. Could you not do this where you do lower them a little bit, and as a result of lowering your prices, people buy more because they think they're getting more of a deal.
100%.
Right?
100%.
Like, tell them what you pointed out to
no,
me.
No,
like,
I mean, that's...
Like, you don't go down there looking for dinner, right? Because
no.
Dinner's going to be expensive,
dinner's
right?
Dinner's going to be expensive, yeah.
Like,
I mean,
this is real stuff.
Typically, when we go to a game, like, we'll get, like, you know, a couple beers and maybe some barbecue nachos or Wing Guru or something like that, but it's pretty pricey. I mean, it's pretty pricey to eat down there and everything like that, but... if your mind's being tricked into those prices like you have on that receipt right there,
I guess I'm being tricked. Yes.
You're going to buy more. Like, your mind's just going to think, oh man, the bang for my buck, I'm just going to buy. And so you're probably going to be spending around the same amount of money anyways.
But it only spent $23.
With those prices.
Got some for that though. Only spent $23, but there are going to be more people. Remember, Bennett's not going down to buy dinner because it's expensive. Well, now more people are going to buy dinner because it's cheaper, and they're going to be willing to say, you know what, I'm going to do. So you get that back,
that's
right?
That's reasonable, though.
You're going to get that back.
Yeah.
By the number of people now that aren't looking to avoid paying for the dinner, just getting a snack. You see what I'm saying? Just getting the beers. Now they're buying dinner because, as Bennett put it, they're being, I don't know if tricked is the right word or not. I will happily say I was tricked here into buying. You know, because it's so cheap, I don't go back and buy more.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I feel like, anyway, we always feel like, you know, we get a better, when you feel like you're getting a deal, that's when you jump on something.
I don't understand. And you said the food was good.
Brother, the brisket tacos were off the chain, like something you would get out of a restaurant.
See, I got to look
and that's just
that.
Their
like,
regular concession.
How can they get away with doing that down there in Atlanta?
You tell me how they got away with this. Tax included, $188
right.
included in the $23, so I didn't pay tax. My flat. Fee was $23.
I mean, that is legit.
So, yeah, I didn't even pay tax, according to this, or it was already included in the price.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that?
$23.
And, brother, that thing, they had Big Tigger doing the on the ones and twos. Like, the guy from BET used to be on BET.
Six and Park?
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
He's on the ones and twos. So, my point is, I mean, what was that? It was $129, $120. Kimba had $37. So, I mean, if you're a Charlotte fan.
It was a good game.
Yeah, the Hawks were down by 20 for most of the game. Chris wanted to see streamers pick the wrong team, man.
No question.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, thought y'all were going to get a Hawks
team. Man, he wanted to see streamers so bad. It had been a while for him here. We missed Saturday. We haven't seen the last home win.
What did it feel like for him, though, to be able to see an NBA team score 120, though?
He didn't give a damn about that, John. You know why? Because the entire time, their arena is pretty cool. The entire time, he's looking up at the scoreboard. Mm. Checking the Grizzlies-Pelicans score, telling me the whole time, Dad, Grizzlies just scored two more. I'm getting play-by-play Pranica over here from the Grizz scoreboard in State Farm Arena during the Hawks game.
He
didn't give a damn about Trae Young. I tried to say, man, Trae Young kind of looked like you, Chris, man. You might want to get your game and model it after him. He wasn't studying Trae Young. Look at that damn Grizzlies score.
Interesting.
He was.
Yep.
That's real talk.
Now, well, Jason painted his room Grizz colors. I just got that done.
I did.
Now, that's an interesting decision.
I did.
That is a very.
Yeah, you might be getting into territory I won't get into here, because you're right. It's like, do you go Grizz? Do you go Tigers? He's also a Lakers and LeBron fan.
There are things we have to have honest conversations about.
But I think I did the right thing. We got the whole three levels of, and you got the light blue,
good.
The groove, the
very
blue
good.
And the yellow. You know,
but
down
Chris
the middle.
How old is Chris? Five.
He's five.
So for the next 5 years. These are very formative years.
This is actually a pretty good conversation. It's a real conversation. You're about to. Did I put the right colors up for? Because it's going to be down.
Mm-hmm. No, but here's the thing.
But
is Chris is going to when he gets like just a little bit older, like just in a couple years, that's when the Grizzlies are really going to be coming into their own again. And that's
when he's 10 years old.
His fandom's going to be like at an all time high.
How many years?
Oh, just a couple. You know.
Oh, okay.
3-4.
Man, Ben is so optimistic about this Grizz team.
Well, we still have Jaren.
He's a new father.
Man, so optimistic. Yeah. He said, no worries. Back in the Western Conference Finals in 2 years.
I didn't hear him say that.
That's it.
You didn't hear that. And do we or do we not have a future star on the team?
Well, that's what we think in Jaren Jackson Jr. Yeah, that's what we think.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it is. That's what we think.
All right.
He's a rookie, you know.
Cool.
I mean, I don't understand why.
Can we build a team around him?
Well, we'll find out.
We're going to find out if we can build a team around
we'll
him.
Find
That's
out.
Another conversation.
All right.
We'll find out. I mean, listen, you're very – you thought Chris Wallace's comments over the weekend were inspiring. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. I was super inspired.
So, in the meantime, I'm wrapping up the trip to Atlanta and having so much fun over there and spending money, whatever, little money, and getting a lot. I see on Twitter from a guy, Mike from Memphis, that there's a group of women out on the Grizzlies postgame show saying, fire John Martin. And I'm like, what is this dude doing while I'm gone, man? Now he's got somebody else that, like, used to be the guy with the shirt. And now there's a group of women out there. So I text my guy. I'm like, what's Mike from Memphis talking about?
Uh-huh.
You got women after you now?
I was not watching the postgame.
And you were not aware, apparently, that this was happening?
Yeah, I was not watching the postgame.
I thought later you were setting me up and that you did know. But this, ladies and gentlemen, for that don't know, John knew the women.
Yeah, I did know the women, it turned out. And I'm very glad I knew the women because I was racking my brain. I was like, oh, God. My wife is going to hear about this, and she's going to think that I'm, like, you know, having an extramarital affair.
Or some woman just wanted you off the air. Weird. Why did they go there?
Because I know my wife. Trust me. Oh. That's what she would have.
Y'all got to get some trust in that thing.
She just.
Young couple. Young love. I understand it.
It's amazing. I guess I should appreciate it. She thinks one time we were turning left.
Don't get into the negative for what is really a positive story here.
No, we're going to get into the negative because it shapes the way we have to talk about this story. We were turning on to Yates. From Poplar, right?
Yeah.
Turning left onto Yates.
Yeah.
And there was a woman in the turning lane coming from Yates.
Did you give her a look?
No. She looked at me, right?
Oh.
And Sam was like, did you know her? I was like, no, I didn't know her. She's like, yeah, I bet you're about to get a text right now, aren't you? I'm like, no, Sam. Calm down. Relax.
I'm not going to get into this because it doesn't do me any good to pick a side here. But that seems a little extreme.
It was a little extreme. Then I had to tell her, I don't know that woman. Maybe she just, you know, maybe she liked the Jeep from Landers Auto Sales.
Will you please tell the listeners that don't know who the women were?
The women.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.